The views and opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of Overseas Radio Network, the Expat Broadcasting Group, the staff, management, or broadcast partners. All information provided is for educational purposes only. Before taking action, consult a licensed professional.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
Good afternoon. This is Richard McCall with Columbia Calling, radioing in from sweat and hotty Mompos today. It's bright, it's clear, there's not a cloud in the sky, but boy, it must be around 32, 34 degrees here. And today we'll be talking about all things Colombian. We'll be demystifying some and debunking some of the myths about this wonderful country in which I've made my home. We will be talking to some of our expats living here, why they live here, what they're doing, what they see in the country, and we'll share their insights on the country. A little bit to start today, we'll talk about some of the news happening in Colombia. Well, President Santos, our Colombian president here, continues traveling the world, signing free trade agreements with all and sundry, while his counterpart in Venezuela starts spreading many tales, or tall tales, of conspiracy theories about plans in Bogota to oust him from the presidency. So we'll see what comes of that. It's always very interesting with Venezuela as a neighbor. What else has happened here in Colombia? Well, two big football matches for the first last week, where Colombia drew in a scoreless game against Argentina. They were on the back foot for almost the whole game, and the Colombian goalkeeper saved Colombia, but 1 point away in World Cup qualifying against Argentina in Buenos Aires is a very good result. And then here in Barranquilla, in the sweltering heat, it must have been about 40, 45 degrees on the pitch, and that's why the national team play in Barranquilla on the Caribbean coast, to completely exhaust the Peruvians, and they won 2-0, two goals, a penalty from one of the world's most expensive players, Radamel Falcao, Colombian, and a well-taken goal by Teofilo Gutierrez, native of Barranquilla, so the city went crazy. So apparently, I think Colombia as a nation is 5 points off World Cup qualification, which has been a long time in coming. And of course, this improves the feeling in the country, you know, the false sense of security and hope and everything else. But it's a good thing, you know, it lifts spirits. And so we're going to talk a little bit about what it's like to live in Colombia. And I have here with me today two West bloggers and expats. They're living in different parts of the country, but they actually knew one another 10 years ago and in New York. In fact, I think one worked for the other. But anyway, it was by chance that they both ended up in Colombia. We have Jorge Vela Kindleman in Bogota, who is an accomplished blogger, and he has a blog site called Qué Pena Con Usted. And we have also Barbara Smalley, a native of New York, Philadelphia, New York, San Francisco, who's living now in Cartagena. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Good afternoon. So we'll start with Jorge. Jorge, he has a Spanish language blog called Qué Pena Con Usted, and it's a very nicely laid out blog for those people who do want to practice Spanish language and look at some fantastic photographs. I'd direct them to this blog. Jorge, what were you trying to do with this blog?
Well, first of all, I have a translation button, so through Google, you can translate it into English if you don't speak Spanish. So even if you don't speak Spanish, I recommend that you visit my blog. And well, what I was trying to do, I had the idea for a long time to start writing about my travels and my experiences in Colombia, and I put it up for a number of reasons, but finally 1 year ago, I decided to go ahead and start it, and I used Colombia, a very Colombian expression, "Qué pena con usted," which means something like "I'm sorry," and it has a funny sound outside of Colombia. It means different things in other countries, and that's about it.
No, and I noticed that on your blog. I was reading it the other day, and it 1 year anniversary just came up. And so, how are you going to celebrate this 1 year anniversary of your blog?
Well, I celebrated it in Mompox, by the way, and I celebrated it in a Chocoramo, which is the most, it's a very well-known little piece of a cake, industrial cake, that is very beloved here in Colombia. It's almost like a national symbol. So I celebrated it eating one of them.
Well, you ate a Chocoramo, which
Chocoramo.
I would describe it as like a piece of bread with some chocolate on it. But yeah, it is a favorite dessert here in Colombia. This is true, and you give a lot of advice to travelers coming to Colombia, and of course now I know that there's a Google Translate button. It's not only to Spanish language speakers, it's to an international crowd. You can read it up in English.
That's right.
Well, Barbara's in Cartagena and Jorge is in Bogota, and Barbara came to Colombia in 2011, and we're now in 2013, but came to 2011 to travel, study some Spanish and then keep on traveling. But I have to say, she hasn't moved on. Something caught her in Cartagena. Barbara, tell us about it.
Yes, well, actually, I did. I came to Colombia because I knew a few people here, and my intention was to travel for several months or a year throughout South America. And my first stop was Cartagena. I wanted to take some Spanish classes and brush up on my Spanish. I had originally learned in Spain many years ago. And my Spanish teacher, coincidentally, was also an English teacher at the Colombian American Center here, which teaches English as well as they have university programs. And she said, "Why don't you apply to teach?" And I did, and I've been here teaching ever since.
That's fantastic. I mean, but it's interesting. I mean, you started learning Spanish many years ago, as you said, in Spain. The accent between Spanish, Spanish, and of course Cartagenero Spanish, and Cartagenero Spanish from Bogotano Spanish is very different. How have you dealt with that?
Well, I haven't been as successful as I might want to be, and partly my own fault. But teaching English also means that most of my work and my life is now in English, because we speak English at the institution. I'm there much of the time. My colleagues, many of them are not from Colombia, and the common language is English. My Colombian colleagues speak excellent English. So I haven't practiced as much of my Spanish as I should be, or as I may have initially intended to. But also, as you said, the Spanish here on the coast is its own kind of Spanish as well. And, you know, I take solace in the fact that people from Bogota say, "Oh, I can't understand that Spanish there. It's difficult," because I still have a little bit of difficulty.
Well, sorry, Jorge, continue.
No, yeah, but it's also interesting to kind of learn a lot of the coast-isms, you know, the things that they say here, and I do feel a little proud sometimes when some of my other Spanish-speaking friends come here and say, "I didn't get a word of what that person said," and I have. I've gotten used to some of the things, so that's good.
And for a native Spanish speaker, Jorge, how do you find the language on the coast?
Difficult to understand at times. It's very strong. It's more like a Caribbean, more like closer to a Cuban accent than to the Bogota accent. But on the other side of the spectrum, the Spanish spoken in the Andean region is the most clear, the most perfect Spanish I've heard in my entire life. Even in the country, the people in the country speak perfect. They pronounce every word, every letter in a way that I love it. I just love it.
But would you say it's almost like in a Bogotano Spanish, when you speak to an educated, let's say someone from an older generation, it's like speaking to someone back in time in Spain? Do they still use the same language that maybe your grandparents would have used?
Well, even older than that. They have expressions like "su merced," for instance, that has been out of fashion in Spain for 100 or 200 years, for centuries, and they still use it here. But it's not only the older people. Even young people in the countryside, they speak perfectly clear Spanish, which I love. I really love it. And not only in Bogota, even in the countryside up Boyacá or further up.
It's interesting because I'm one day back here in Monpose where I have a hotel which both of you have visited, La Casa Amarilla, and I'm having real trouble getting back into the accent again. And of course I'm doing some renovations on another house and my workmen are up there shouting things left and right. I'm just like, this is just a noise. It's not language. But within a day or so, I'll get back into the rhythm, and then I'll be reprimanded by my wife for speaking costeño. Instead of the nice Spanish that I studied at university. So, but you have to adapt to the region where you are. It's, I don't want to always be the gringo. You want to be more accepted and you become part of the scenery rather than the exception to the rule. But, it's an interesting situation being up here on the coast. It's a different world altogether. But, so we'll do that. What I would like to mention just beforehand to our listeners out there, if you hear bells chiming in the background, it's because I'm next door to a church, or if you hear tropical birds chirping in the street, in the trees, it's because I can see out of my window from my office into the, this array of beauty and nature, and there's some howler monkeys up there as well. And also, I believe in Cartagena, Barbara is at the risk of having a chiva bus or a horse-drawn cart going past. So if you hear any of these more different sounds, perhaps sounds that we don't hear every day, then that's the reason. I don't know what we might hear in Bogota because it's a big international city. So I don't know. How's life today in Bogota, Jorge?
Well, the sunrise, at sunrise, it was a beautiful clear day, unusually clear, and now it's getting a little bit cloudier, but it's nice. It's a nice day.
Well, this is what happens in Bogota. It's almost always a beautiful, crisp, high altitude morning, and then it bruises around midday before then ruining the afternoon. But that's what happens. But that's what happens at high altitude anyway. So anyway, how long have you been in Bogota, Jorge?
For 3 years, almost exactly 3 years.
And you intend on staying longer?
1 or 2 years more.
And you're going to keep on blogging and telling everyone where to go and what to see and...
Yes, but my blog is not the kind of blog that says where to go, what to eat, or where to stay. It's more, I try to bring up a feeling of the place, and zero in into an interesting aspect, and try to give a feeling of why is it interesting, or why should people go there. But it's not like a travel guide in a traditional sense.
Yeah, that's what I like. I mean, I would actually call it more of a literary blog because you're an observationalist. You're studying, you're watching, you participate, but you're not affecting the situation at all. And it's not a travel guide. We won't mention any travel guides, but it's not a travel guide that says you must go here. These are the top five things. These are the top five beaches. It's much more descriptive.
That's right. That's right.
And Barbara's there, as I said earlier. She's been in Cartagena since 2011, and she's working in an American school. But also, Barbara has traveled all over the country. Both of them have traveled all over the country. But Barbara, what has interested me most, Barbara brought her mother down to Colombia to travel. So, how was that?
Yes, well, I have to correct you a little bit, because I didn't bring her down. She came down on her own with a friend. So, what made it easy, my mother lives outside the Washington, D.C. area, and her friend lives in outside New York City, and my mother had grown up outside New York City. And JetBlue flies direct now from New York to Cartagena. So that made it very easy, a nonstop five-hour flight. And she, certainly wanted to come down and see where I was living. I had raved about Cartagena and how beautiful it was and how nice the people are in Colombia and everything. And so she wanted to see for herself. They were both here in January. My mother was 79, like her friend 78. We loved it. We took, in Cartagena, I think no matter what, you have to take it easy because it can get hot, and especially kind of in the middle of the day. And so we definitely, took it easy, going out kind of morning, being in the shade in the middle of the day, and then going out again in the afternoon or the evening. And they loved it. We also took, they were 10 days in Colombia altogether. We wanted to go out of Cartagena for a couple of days, and we were deciding between Santa Marta and Mompos, and they wanted to go the more adventurous route and go to Mompos and stay in your hotel, La Casa Amarilla. And And we did that. I mean, again, we did it a little bit more of the, you know, kind of the easier way to do it. But we had a door-to-door four-wheel drive Jeep service, more or less. Well, Jeep, it was nicer than a Jeep. It was about a 5 or 6 hour trip from here to Cartagena. That was a little adventurous also, but because about half of the way is over dirt roads, and then you take a quote-unquote ferry across the river in order to get over to Mompos. But it was an adventure that they loved, definitely.
That's fantastic. I mean, with all the money spent on promoting Colombia and the tourism office here, creating all sorts of slogans, I haven't seen them focusing, let's say, on sort of families coming or even, you know, sort of, let's say, a little bit older people. I mean, I know your mother is incredibly active, but it's not a demographic that they're looking at. But these people, you know, they want to travel, they have the time, and, you know, they've also got the money to do it. So I would say it's a good market. But anyway, so she came to Cartagena, she loved it, and they came to Mompos. But Jorge, you've traveled everywhere, and you do enjoy Cartagena, don't you?
Yes, well, when I first came to Colombia, I was more attracted to other destinations because I was afraid that Cartagena would be too touristy or too tourist oriented. So I tried to avoid it and tried to go to the mountains and to other places, to the Amazon. But then I was invited to go to Cartagena, and I went and I loved it. I really fell in love with the place because it's a beautiful city. It's the only thing that comes close to it in the Caribbean is Havana. Other than that, is Cartagena, and it's alive. There are a lot of tourists there, but this is also a city that is alive. It's because the whole city, Barbara can talk more about this, but the whole city is surrounded by a huge city, so there is a lot of life, students, young people coming in and out of the center. So I fell in love with Cartagena as well.
Yeah, Cartagena is a sophisticated city, and Barbara will attest to the fact that there are many, many restaurants. I mean, some of the best in Colombia, and of course, I think there's something along the lines of 40, 45 boutique hotels in the World Center. Actually, I'm probably wrong. There's probably more now since I last went. They just seem to be opening up and opening up. But it's been, you know, the perennial jewel of Colombian tourism. This is why, while Colombia didn't receive tourism because of the violence or the perceived violence or the problems in the country, no one came to Colombia. But given Cartagena's situation, carefully balanced on the Caribbean coast, protected almost from the rest of the country, it was always a destination. And Barbara will agree with me when I say, well, how is life living in a tourist destination?
Well, actually, I mean, it's like I wanted to come here. I'd known Cartagena. I'd been to Cartagena before I came here again in 2011, and I came back because I loved it. It was like magic. There's this old colonial wall, you know, fortress type wall that's surrounding the center of the city, and it was kind of like being in just this magical place because of the colonial architecture that's around, and the little parks and the squares and the plazas and the churches and the museums. And it's, I mean, I live and I work in this old city, and it's kind of like being on vacation every day when I walk to and from any place, shopping or to work or out for the evening. It's magical, really magical.
And how is it? I mean, you say you're like being on vacation every day. How is it like getting things done then?
Well, I do have to, you know, I spend a lot of time in New York City where everything is, you know, chop, 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 get things done. And I have definitely had to do a little mind shift here. But, you know, it's good. It's more laid back. You just have to kind of relax and just, I have to remember or remind myself often, if you see someone in the street, you stop for a few minutes and say, hi, how's it going? What's going on? And you don't just run off and say, oh, you know what? I got to run. I'm doing this. But that's a good thing, I think. It's been good to kind of refocus and to think about how things are in other places or how I normally am. Things definitely take longer to get done, but, you know, something at the bank or whatever it might be, but I'm prepared for that.
Yeah, I think you've touched on something that's very interesting and, of course, appeals to all of us here, those of us who are expats here in Colombia. It's a human place to be. You do have to stop and chat to someone. For me, you know, here in Mompox, it is a small town. We've got 34,000 people, but only about 7,000 in the colonial center. And just this morning, I was walking from one side to the other, and what would take, if I was just walking it rapidly, 10 minutes, you know, it takes an hour and a half because you have to share a word with everybody. And if you don't, it's an insult. You know, it's like, oh, you know, the gringo didn't speak to me today. And so I have to do that. And it is a bit like that in Bogota. I mean, a bit like that. But, it is a big city. I don't know in which barrio you live, in which district, Jorge, but have you found a community where you live?
Sort of. I live in Chapin. I don't near the comunidad, the Centro Andino, and yes, it's a huge city, but I bump into people all the time, which is amazing to me. You people tend to hang out in their neighborhoods. It's really a big city. For me, it's a big city, Bogota. It feels more like a big city, anonymous, than a traditional Latin American city, at least where I live.
And it's true. Yeah, I mean, if you're up in that section of Chapinero, it is more international as well, and that's where lots of businesses. But yeah, it's it is a big city, but the fact that you still run into people, the fact that people still talk, I mean, there is that humanity, and that's something that we cherish as foreigners living here. In truth, I mean, it may be odd to begin with. But I mean, Barbara, coming from New York or San Francisco or Philadelphia, these are big cities, and you're in a hurry, you know. And that's why I think everyone here is always late. That's why I think everyone is always late, because they have to stop and then greet everyone, even people you don't know. I mean, you have to. One of the things about conversation here, I always find, is that with anyone, I have to talk about their family. I have to ask them. You know, how is their wife? How are their children? And they'll tell me gladly. And that's actually quite nice. You know, it's touching on, you know, it's almost like a connection with the ancient language of which we were speaking earlier. But anyway, so we'll continue on a little bit. And I know both of you have traveled everywhere. And Jorge in particular has been writing about his travels in Colombia on his blog, Que Pena Con Usted. And you've given tips about not where to travel, but sort of, advice in your last two blogs, sort of advice about Colombia that have included, of course, prudence, security. But maybe you could tell us a little bit about these blogs.
I give six general considerations to things to take into consideration before traveling to Colombia. And I talk about first that this is a sweet time to come to Colombia, because there are very few tourists still here. You can go to wonderful places like Mompox or the mountains or
I lost you.
Or the Amazon, and still there are very few tourists there. You're almost alone. That's very, very, very unique. Although if you travel in Europe or elsewhere in Latin America, in Mexico, whatever, there are thousands of tourists in everywhere. And here you still have the chance to come before everybody else. And then I talk a little bit that things to consider. I talk about security, which is still an issue here in Colombia. And what is happening is most of the country is very safe to go, but there are some areas that still have problems with guerrilla, with political violence, and at times those regions are the most beautiful. Some of them are. So tourists are increasingly tempted to venture into those places. And the advice I give is first make sure you know what you're doing. Get as much information as possible, and always talk to the locals. Always go with a local guide if you can afford it. It's very cheap still. I recommend to hiring local guys, local people to go with them. And if you have any doubts, then don't do it. There are plenty of other wonderful places to go.
This is true. I mean, absolutely spot on with that advice. A local guide, and of course you're helping the local economy, and you're building an infrastructure for tourism and future tourism and communication. You know, if we can communicate with the outside world saying, listen, this is a place that you can visit, this is a place that you can come to, but or this is a place that we would recommend you don't. We will dispel, well, not dispel, but we'll also help the country progress. We don't want to be another statistic, you know. That's the reality of it. And you must ask the locals. I mean, it really is just one of those key details. Don't be afraid to practice your Spanish, and don't be afraid. I mean, for the most part, people will be so happy that you try. But if you must speak to the locals, you must get a guide. Have you been to any area that you were particularly worried about, Jorge?
Well, I've been to an area that is still a little bit hot. Well, it's hot. It's La Guajira, where recently two Spanish tourists were kidnapped. Well, they're still kidnapped. And I went with a trip, organized trip by the local government, and they took us to the mountains del Perito, La Sierra del Perijal, which is an amazing place, just amazing, because you can go up to those mountains and there is the valley, La Guajira is like a valley, and then on the other side you see the Sierra Nevada with peaks that are like the tallest in Colombia, snow cap, almost 6,000 meters, and you can go there and take pictures at dawn. It's really an amazing place. But they're in the border with Venezuela, and still there's some guerrilla there. It's not safe to go there unless you know exactly where you're going, at what times you can go, when you have to leave, etc.
And that's the region, I'm just going to repeat, that's the region of Arauca, no, on the border with Venezuela.
No, oh. Well, no, this is La Guajira.
Oh, the Guajira, further up north, northernmost part of South America. And but you have traveled extensively in the country, and you are principally attracted. You are attracted to mountainous areas.
Yes, that's right. So I mean, lucky in Colombia, because there are plenty of mountains in this country, and even from my house in Bogota, I can walk up the hills of the Cerros Orientales, you know, the eastern hills of Bogota, which are amazing, are absolutely amazing, beautiful, and I can be there in half an hour walking. So yes, mountains is what I like the best.
Ah, fantastic. And yes, in Bogota is on a mountain range. I mean, we have the mountains running along one edge, and you can hike up them every day, but on weekends they're particularly popular with dog walkers and so on, hiking up up to this what's it called, Quebrada de la Vieja,
right,
up there, which is a very nice place to go, and you rub shoulders with kind of pretty famous people up there. They, you know, I've seen former mayors, I've seen an ex-president, quite a portly ex-president.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
So I think ex-president Samper, no?
Yes, telenovelas stars I've seen. Yes.
You know, and this is something that inspires me, because it's Colombians sort of taking back their own country. Because when I mentioned to my wife or my brother-in-law, oh, no, I'm going to go and hike up the mountain there with the dog, he's like, oh yeah, but make sure you take the dog, because it's dangerous up there and so on. But I mean, it was so full of people, it was policed, and to see all the Colombians going out and enjoying things that are on offer to them, I mean, it just felt like a country that, you know, that was showing a bit more maturity. The Colombian himself wanted to reclaim, I know this is just on the edge of Bogota, I mean, it's right in Bogota, but it wanted to reclaim what was on offer. And this is a big step forward, you know, rather than, you know, hunkering down in justified fear, which is, you know, if we talk 10, 15 years ago, but they were actually getting out there and enjoying the country. So we're talking about a little bit here about dangerous areas and so on and so forth. But Barbara, I mean, has traveled extensively, and she's gone down to the south, into a department called Putumayo, which is on the border with Ecuador, and one of the least visited departments in Colombia. But what made you go down there?
Well, I had wanted to take a trip to the southwest. I wanted to see Popayán. My traffic in Cartagena. I wanted to see Popayán, which is a beautiful colonial city. They call it kind of, you know, its buildings are painted in white. It's kind of the white version of Cartagena, where all the colonials buildings here are different colors. But I wanted to, you know, to see the area down there. And it was suggested to me that I visit Mocoa, which is the capital of the Putumayo department or province. And so I went down there kind of not necessarily knowing a lot, but did a lot of asking around and, you know, was certainly glad I did because then I did more and more research on the roads because there isn't a huge infrastructure in terms of highways and things. And the road that I had to take from Pasto over to Mocoa, about half of it is something that they called el trampolín de la muerte, so the trampoline of death. And, of course, when I originally planned to go there, I didn't know about this name for the road, but I did a little bit of research, and in the past, it had been known for a lot of accidents and things like that. They have done a lot of improvements on the road, although everything is relative. The road is still not exactly a super highway, but it was certainly, I was going, you know, doing what the native or what the locals do in terms of taking a four-wheel drive. We were in just a six-passenger four-wheel drive vehicle, you know, taking it slowly, and it was definitely worth it because I was rewarded with beautiful countryside and in an area where people don't normally travel very much. And it is sad. It's like you were saying before that, you know, Colombia is opening itself up to the Colombians because I've certainly known a lot of people who haven't traveled to most of the places that I've been to or haven't traveled at all in Colombia. And they said because they had been concerned earlier about the safety situation, but now they are starting to travel more and the country's opened up to them.
But I mean, it's fantastic that, isn't it? Okay, it's fantastic that you're getting the Colombians coming back, and it's always something that I ask for. You know, get out there and know your own country. But the infrastructure is severely lacking. But I also put it as, you know, well, you're coming to Colombia, and it's going to be an adventure anyway. So you've got to adopt a different mindset. You know, Jorge will attest to this as well. You know, you've got to adopt to a different mindset. You've just leave so let's say our North American European pretensions behind and enjoy Colombia for what it is. I mean, Jorge, have you got any advice to the traveler?
Well, I mean, what I was talking about before that Colombia just opened up to tourism recently also has a drawback. You know, this is not the Caribbean or the Mexican Caribbean or the Riviera, whatever. You know, the infrastructure is really bad, and hotels are not as luxurious as elsewhere, and they can become very expensive in certain point days, no, long weekends, the so-called puentes. So yeah, you have to take the things as they come, but overall, you'll be content because the rewards are very, very big. The rewards are here, so the balance is very positive, I can say.
And this is something interesting you touched on the puentes, which are the long weekends, public holidays. There are 19 in Colombia every year, which is a lot. It almost finds, if you're trying to do business, it becomes incredibly difficult because banks are always closed and everything like that. I mean, people always seem to be on holiday, but that's part of the spirit of Colombia and Latin America. It creates these sort of very, you know, marked high seasons. Every puente is a high season. Every bank holiday is a high season. And of course, then students are out in June and July, and then everyone's on holiday again in December and January. So if you are coming to Colombia, and we can talk about Cartagena and this, prices at these periods of time, you know, there are minimum stay requirements. There are, you know, prices double, you know, airline fares, internal airline fares and international, really, really climbing. I mean, Cartagena is probably the most indicative of this. I mean, but as Barbara lives there, she doesn't suffer so much this problem. But for people visiting Cartagena, is there a time, Barbara, that you would say better to visit Cartagena?
Well, it's certainly better in kind of the northern hemisphere's winter in terms of temperatures and weather. December and January, February are beautiful weather-wise. And I mean, people say, oh, my God, it's so cold. But it's not cold. It's just actually pleasant as opposed to being stifling hot. And then there's a nice breeze also. But again, those are also January, December and January are Colombian peak travel times. And so the prices do go up in a lot of the places, and there are minimum stays, as you said. There is definitely in Cartagena, there's a range of places. You can certainly stay in beautiful hotels like the Sofitel and spend hundreds of dollars a night on a room and have a swimming pool and things like that. But there are also a lot of backpackers here in hostels and things also. So you can find a range of things. But yes, December and January will be more expensive, but also a nicer time to visit.
It's if you're coming in this time of year, it's imperative that you book ahead. I mean, not just turn up, haphazardly, because I get emails from places in Cartagena saying, don't send us anyone for the next 2 weeks. it's something like that. And it's not that my flow of tourism is so high to be able to send that many people. But, Cartagena is a very special, very sophisticated place. And a little anecdote of my own is that, 2 years ago in 2011, I was married in Cartagena. Why did I choose Cartagena to get married? Well, it was my choice. I wanted, for my friends coming over from North America and Europe, I wanted them to have a holiday destination, which, it was easy for me to organize that. All they have to do is, Barbara mentioned earlier, there are direct flights into Cartagena from the United States. I believe there might be some from Europe. I'm not entirely sure. But direct flights straight in, and then you're in this wonderful walled city. And despite my friends really not speaking a lot of Spanish, being good Englishmen, of course, but they were within the walled city, and of course I could just sort of release them there. They knew where they could go. They knew what they wanted to do. The Castillo San Felipe, the Museum of the Inquisition, take a day trip out to Playa Blanca, and other things. Everything for a week stay, it was absolutely perfect for them. And at no point did they feel at threat from any security issues, not even sort of opportunists. I mean, Cartagena has been protected from, let's say, the conflict in the country. But, that beyond the city walls in Cartagena, there is a great deal of poverty. And, of course, this leads in the inequality of the society. This leads to problems. But, Barbara, have you had any problems in security there in Cartagena in the time that you've been living there?
No, well, I haven't at all. But again, I've lived in big cities, New York City, as you mentioned, New York and San Francisco, and you just need to be smart in any big city at all. And so, you're not flashing iPhones and iPods and all of those kinds of things. I mean, there is a lot of security, a lot of police walking around the tourist areas of Cartagena, so the walled city and then areas where there are beaches and the castle and things like that. So there's not a concern for safety in that. If you go beyond the tourist areas, it is different, as you mentioned. It's night and day. As I said, you can spend hundreds of dollars in a hotel, but then if you walk 10 minutes or 15 minutes outside of the walled city, you will see extreme poverty. And reality is, even if you say, I don't have a lot of money, compared to a lot of these people here, you're very rich.
So. Yes. This is very true. It's very true. So you need to use common sense. And in Chapinero, in your district in Bogota, Jorge, have you ever had any problems?
Well, I was mugged once in La Septima. I was mugged once. Yeah.
Oh, that's an unfortunate reality where you are in a big city. But this is the reality of any city almost, I would say. But anyone coming to Colombia should be a little bit more aware of their surroundings. And of course, don't flash cash around and you don't wave your camera around. You are respectful and careful. Because again, you don't want to be another, statistic. So anyway, Jorge,
but just to clarify, I mean the neighborhood is fairly safe. I walk everywhere and people walk their dogs and it's not like people are terrified and hiding in their houses. No, it's a very lively city with people walking around everywhere. And yeah, but I was mugged in Madrid as well once. So yeah.
Well, there you go. You're one for one.
Yeah.
It equals out that one. No, I've never been mugged in Colombia. I mean, I've had situations which I think were probably close, but equally 7 years. No problems, and being a journalist, sometimes I put myself in silly, let's say, a little reckless situations. But no, I've been absolutely okay, and I often feel that people who are mugged are just incredibly unfortunate at that time and that place. Everything conspired against them. But let's talk a little bit more about your travels. And Jorge, you've been to the Sierra Nevada del Cocoy, to climb, I guess, or high altitude.
Hike. You can climb there, but I don't climb. And it's a wonderful place. I strongly recommend anybody who likes mountains or who wants to get close to a nevado, to a snow peak mountain, to go to El Cocuy. The town is very nice, very pleasant, very, very lively. I love the town. And then the park is absolutely fantastic. You can easily there arrange for, you can hike to peaks. To the snow cap is not very difficult. I've done it, so anybody who's fit can do it. But I strongly recommend for anyone who has time to do the Vuelta a la Sierra, which takes 6 days, and you go around the mountains, and it's really the most amazing trek I've done in my life. It's by far fantastic. I strongly recommend. It's hard, it's demanding, but it's amazing. And you get to go through my favorite spot in Colombia if you do that trek, which is called El Valle de los Cojines, which is a valley that is like 4 kilometers wide and about 8 deep, like a rectangle, like a perfect rectangle, and it's surrounded by huge mountains in all four sides, and it's full of the Cojines, which is a big moss. Musgo is moss, right?
That's right, moss.
Moss that are like a meter in diameter, and there are waterfalls going from all the mountains into the valley, and all that water leaves the valley through a huge waterfall, and it's like Versailles. I had the feeling that I was in a big Versailles in the middle of the mountain, an amazing place that everybody should see.
I mean, really, I'm actually very, very envious. I've not been to El Cocuy in my 7 years. I have hiked the Ciudad Perdida, which is the lost city, which I did one of the first times I came to Colombia. You've both done that. Barbara, you've done the Ciudad Perdida, haven't you? One of the most popular hikes here.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But what, I mean, you know, people are very fast to compare it to, let's say, oh, it's the Colombian Machu Picchu, but it's not at all, is it? It's how would you describe the Ciudad Perdida?
Well, I would say it's the week itself that's what's amazing, because you're hiking you can choose your speed and length of your trip, but it's usually about 5 days in and out, and it's the experience of hiking through this jungle and you know, you're going up and down, definitely some steep inclines and descents. But you're also hiking through areas where there are indigenous people who live as they've been living for hundreds of years. I mean, they wear, you know, the indigenous clothing. They're living in, you know, huts like they have been for hundreds of years. And that's what's kind of the amazing part of it. And, you know, of course, the icing on the cake is getting to the Ciudad Perdida itself, the lost city, which was, a city from 1500s or so, and it's not as, I've been to Machu Picchu as well, it's not impressive just to see, as impressive just to see the city itself, but as I said, the whole hike, you know, and the experience and kind of what you've done and going deep into the jungle there and getting to this place, it's amazing.
An opportunity to experience a living, existing ancient culture.
Yes, for sure.
Now, so we'll just jump on. I'm going to give you a bit more publicity, the both of you. And so for those people thinking of coming to Colombia and wishing to read very nicely written and very, illustrative images of Colombia, please, I direct you to Jorge Bella's blog, which is Qué Pena Con Usted. Jorge, in a few words, where else do you need to travel or do you want to travel in Colombia?
Well, I have been here for 3 years traveling a lot, but I have only been to about a third or less or fourth of the country, because this is a huge country and it's not easy to get from one place to the other. The roads are terrible. The geography is striking. You know, it's amazing. But, I'd like to go to a lot of places. I want to go to El Chocó. To watch the whales in a couple of months. I want to go to Caño Cristales, which is a river that has some red algae that grow in the water, and apparently they call it the most beautiful river in the world. And I like to go to the border between Colombia and Panama to see apparently that's also stunning, stunningly beautiful.
Sort of.
Those are my top three next.
Well, I'm happy to say that I've been to two of those three. So it was not to Los Castillos or Darien Gap on the Panama border, but I do aim to go there. And Barbara, I need to give you some publicity as well. You are helping out. You are renting apartments in Cartagena.
Yeah, there are three vacation apartments here that are in between the backpacker set and the expensive hotel set. But they're really nice self-catered apartments. My website is vacationrentalscartagena.com. And my mother and her friend and I actually stayed there when they visited. It's beautiful because it's a great kind of place to escape to after maybe a hot morning or afternoon when walking around. And really nice, right, centered in the heart of the old city.
And perfect for those people coming down for an extended period of time or looking to invest and not wanting to stay in a hotel. I mean, you've got a few apartments, haven't you, on your listings?
Yeah, studio, one bedroom, two bedroom, and they can be combined. You can kind of have four bedrooms. We have people who are coming down in family groups or maybe coming to a wedding, which is Cartagena's a popular spot for a wedding, as you know, since you had yours here.
Yes.
But yeah, vacationrentalscartagena.com, and we can help you out.
This is fantastic. And Barbara, is there anywhere in Colombia? I mean, you're pretty intrepid. You've been on the trampoline of death. I mean, you brought your mother around Colombia. Is there anywhere that's lacking in your time here that you need to go and see?
Well, two of the places that Jorge mentioned, Caño Cristales, the river, and the Chocó on the Pacific coast to see the whales. And now I haven't been up to the Sierras and the Cocuy, and I need to go up there as well, you know, where Jorge just talked about.
Let's go together, Barbara.
Okay,
great. Well, I might sign up for that trip, too. I'll tell you a little bit about the Chocó is on the Pacific coast, and it's replete with nature. It's an incredibly, almost untouched region. It's one of the wettest regions in the world, but that means that life is so exuberant there, and, of course, it's a favored sort of birthing place and mating place for the humpback whales that come down for several months each year, and you can see them breaching even from the shore. You don't have to take boats out, but I do recommend taking boats out. And Caño Cristales is a newly sort of secure place. It's still on the edge. It's in a region of the Department of Meta that was actually included in the what they call the demilitarized zone that was given over to the FARC back in 2002, if I'm not mistaken, under the president of Pastrana. Andres Pastrana, and it was an idea to have peace dialogues there. Not dissimilar to the ones that are taking place in Cuba at the moment, but yes, they were there, but now you can go down there and visit, and there are several months of the year where the red algae are flowering sort of beneath the water and giving this impression, the image of a red river. It is truly spectacular, and yet another place to go and visit. In Colombia, I mean, this is not a place you come for a week. You come here for, as like Barbara, you know, you come here for a few weeks and you stay several years, you know. So, I've been here 7 years. Jorge has been here three. We are testament to this. Is a phenomenal place to come and visit. So I'll just take this moment. Say you've been listening to Colombia Calling, and I'm your host, Richard McCall, here in Mompox. And thank you to Barbara Smalley, who has her website. What is your website again?
VacationRentalsCartagena.com.
For anything you need in Cartagena, VacationRentalsCartagena.com to rent. And, of course, to Jorge Vela, who writes on a blog. Jorge, your blog?
QuePenaConUsted.com.
Which is perfect for all those people who want to read something more than a guidebook, you know, something literary, observant, very descriptive about the country. So thank you very much for listening. This is Richard McCall on Colombia Calling. Bye-bye.
Pack your bags and explore the world with us. You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network.
Just finished school? Newly retired? Looking for a change? Get certified to teach English and move abroad like thousands do every year. Global TESOL College comes to Costa Rica, the global organization that trains and certifies more ESL instructors than any other organization of its kind. For the past 15 years, we've trained and certified over 40,000 graduates in the field of TESOL. Live the dream of staying and studying at the beach. You will be living at one of our beautifully centrally located accommodation options in Jaco Beach on Costa Rica's Pacific Coast. With a school, beach, and great restaurants all within walking distance, in a safe community with all the convenience of back home, discover why so many choose to earn their teaching certificate in Jaco Beach, Costa Rica. Visit us today for more information at www.globaltesolcostarica.com. That's global TESOL CostaRica.com. Mention this ad when you enroll and receive $50 off your tuition. Enroll with a friend and receive $100 off. The world is waiting for you, and Global TESOL College is your ticket.
I put out way too much trash to think about recycling. I just don't get it.
Some things are very obvious, Maria.
Learn the difference between trash and recycling and more on our website, yougottabekidding.org. Visit yougottabekidding.org today.
Are you interested in investing in organic agriculture but don't want to get your hands dirty? Do you want high offshore returns with an environment of low taxes and strong property rights? If so, you should consider Chile's most exciting and diverse new development, FreedomOrchard.com, and its expert team of organic farmers in the Freedom Orchard Organics Division. Don't just sit on a pile of gold. Inflation-resistant farm investments are available now at Freedom Orchard. Enjoy a short payback period from year-round frost-free planting on our highly productive farmland in central Chile. Visit FreedomOrchard.com for details.
You're tuned in to OverseasRadio.com, your online radio resource about life abroad. OverseasRadio.com, broadcasting from Panama to Paris and beyond.
Georgetown Global Metals is a division of Georgetown Trust, LTD, an international financial services company headquartered in Belize with offices in Zurich, Switzerland, and Panama City, Panama. Georgetown Global Metals is a leader in the physical acquisition and storage of metals worldwide. The company utilizes the best and most state-of-the-art facilities in Switzerland, Germany, Singapore, and Panama to store metals inside or outside the customs borders of the countries in which we maintain storage facilities. Georgetown can also acquire and store virtually any strategic, industrial, or defense-oriented metal for our clients. Most metals can also be fully insured throughout the delivery and storage process with Lloyd's of London. For a free, no obligation quote on any precious or other metals, acquisition or storage, please contact Lewis Eck at georgetown@btl.net. Mention you heard about Georgetown Global Metals on ORN and receive 1 month storage absolutely free. Again, that is georgetown@btl.net or telephone International Country Code Belize plus 501-226-3569.
Sit back and relax. You are tuned into the Overseas Radio Network, your expatriation destination. This is OverseasRadio.com.